Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 13. Nehemiah, chapter 13. And we're in the conclusion, or the concluding lesson, and we've already been in on it 2 weeks, and this will be our third, and I don't think we'll finish tonight, so I hope you're not in a real hurry. But Nehemiah chapter 13, we'll begin reading at verse 1. Nehemiah chapter 13. And what a blessing it is to be in the house of God with God's people reading the Word of God.
Amen.
And it says in verse 1 of chapter 13, on that day they read in the book of Moses and the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever. Because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. Howbeit, our God turned the curse into a blessing. Now it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your love and mercy, the salvation we have in Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we look at this man, Nehemiah, we are impressed by his stickability, his stability, and his willingness, Lord, to remain faithful. Help us, Lord, to have those same qualities. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Nehemiah, as we have said two or three times, was a man's man. And as we look at chapter 13, we have 12 thoughts to ponder. The first point that we showed was he knew he was called of God. Now, I'm going to tell you something this evening that all of us can be used of God. Now, we may not all be preachers and missionaries as such, but we all can be those who are used of the Lord. And when everything else fails, the call of God will give you the strength and resolution you need to keep or get the job done. I would like to read to you one verse. It's from the book of Philippians, chapter 1 and verse 6, where it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And he has begun a good work in each and every one of us. And there is a job to be done, and it's not done until the Lord calls us home. Nehemiah started with a burden for Jerusalem, but the burden was not the call. All of us could have a burden, but the call is different. He wept over the sad condition of the city upon hearing of it, but his tears were not the call. It was as he prayed to God and sought divine help that he received a call to leave his relatively easy job as a cupbearer and go to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls. And I doubt that they had taught him how to rebuild the walls and training him how to be a cupbearer. I've often thought when I was in Bible college, they should have taught us a few things other than the book of Genesis. They should have taught us how to do some plumbing and electrical work. They should have taught us how to put a bulletin together and a Sunday school lesson together. There are just certain things they should have taught us. And the same with Nehemiah. When he headed off for Jerusalem, I wonder how much he was qualified to be a builder with rock. We find, number two, he depended on prayer. And folks, I hope you have been praying for many things that are coming our way. We mentioned the mission conference that's going to begin in 2 weeks, our church anniversary, which is on the 25th, the elections that are coming our way, much to be praying for, as well as for many who have contracted the virus. And so we're praying. The book of Nehemiah starts and ends with prayer. In between, Nehemiah often set up quick prayers. I think we need to be on a good relationship with our Lord so we don't have to introduce ourselves when it comes time to pray. Nehemiah was the royal governor of the province, with all the authority and wealth of the king behind him, but he depended solely on God to help him finish the work, and he prayed. Number three, he had a vision and saw the greatness of the work. Are you ever amazed at someone who could take a chainsaw and take a tree trunk and make a bear out of it? I don't see the bear in the tree trunk, but the guy with the chainsaw does. And how about these people who take marble and are able to chisel out the figure of a person? How do they see that person in the marble? Well, the fact is that we need to have a vision for the cause of Christ. The Bible tells us where there is no vision, the people perish. And it shouldn't just be the vision of the pastor. It should be the vision of the church to see people come to know the Lord as Savior. And Nehemiah never lost his vision. And thus, when the messengers came asking for his time, he responded, "I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease?" Nehemiah realized that what he was doing was far bigger than simply repairing walls and rebuilding or repairing the gates. He was working for the Lord God of heaven and getting the holy city ready for the coming of the Messiah. Now, I believe this. I think we can see the signs of the time that our Lord's coming back soon. And I think it'd be great if he came back tonight. Well, yes, tonight would be good, wouldn't it? Number four, he submitted to authority. And I have said this before, it's hard for people to submit to authority. We find that people are by nature rebellious. Right from the very beginning, Lucifer rebelled, and Eve rebelled, and Cain rebelled. And we can go right down through the Word of God and we see that people rebelled. But Nehemiah respected the king and submitted his plans to him for his approval before he went to Jerusalem. We asked the question last week, what if Nehemiah had not been willing to go and to do the work? Now, through the years, there have been many men and women who have been called to do something for the cause of Christ who have said no. No. And I am amazed at how many of them have come at a later time and either told my dad or told my dad and me both that yes, there was a point in time when they knew that God was calling them and they said no. That's because by nature, we struggle with authority. But Nehemiah was willing to answer the call. Number five, he was organized in his work. We find early on that Nehemiah secretly surveyed the situation and became acquainted with the facts. He then talked with the Jewish leaders privately and told them his plan. And after making his plan, he enlisted the workers and sought to give them the same vision for the task the Lord had given him. And he says that they built the wall for the people had a mind to work. And I think that it helped that he was well organized. Number six, he was able to discern the tactics of the enemy. Do you think that we are under spiritual attack?
Always.
Yes.
I think we are definitely under spiritual attack. And that he wants our kids, our grandkids, our great-grandkids. He wants you. He wants me. He wants the truth. Bring us down. As I said last week, every church, every family, and every individual needs to keep their eyes open and remain on guard because our enemy, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And as I said Sunday, don't ever think you can go to battle against Satan in your own power. Because if you do, you're bound to fail. Peter admonished us still, resist steadfast in the faith. Jude warns that there are certain men crept in unawares, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Then John, as we said last week, said that he loved and he had no greater joy than to hear that his children walk in truth. Truth is very important. I've said this before, and you've heard me say it. How many commercials can you believe?
Very few.
You know, many times they, of course, embellish things. They twist the truth. But Nehemiah was not fooled by the enemy's efforts or frightened by their threats. But sadly, how many believers have ignored the advice and instructions of their pastors only to fall into, away from truth and to drift into sin? So that brings us to point number 7. Are you ready? I hope so. Because it's, he worked hard. He worked hard. Nehemiah led by example. Had he stayed back in the palace serving the Persian king, he would have enjoyed an easy life. But once he was in Jerusalem, he went to work. He kept working and he worked hard. Now, to be the king's cupbearer, most of the day you wouldn't be doing a whole lot. Maybe rubbing shoulders with important people. That would have been the best way to tell the difference between a burden and a calling, because he worked hard. A burden may fade, but a calling remains to work hard. I remember one time we had a work day here at the church, and I realized that one of the people that came out to work wasn't working. And he was keeping other people from working. And how was he keeping other people from working?
Talking.
He was talking. And I finally had to take him and put him away from everybody else. Because, you know, we had come to do what?
Work.
We hadn't come to talk. We'd come to work. And some people we know, they find many ways not to have to work. You know someone where your work that they're always looking for a way not to work? That's amazing. Number 8, he lived an exemplary life. In other words, unblemished. We read of many strong men and women in the Bible, but sadly we see that many struggled and fell into sin along the way. And I could ask you to give examples, and you could say, yes, how about Jonah? Jonah had obviously been used of the Lord for years, and when he was called to do something, he didn't want to do it. He has a blemish, and we can continue. But we'll not take the time just now, but according to Proverbs 24:16, for a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. But yet if you read about Nehemiah, you will not find where he fell along the wayside. He kept himself doing that which is right. A study of the scriptures tells us that whether he was working on the wall or feeding hundreds of guests, Nehemiah's life was blameless. He refused to be distracted. Have you ever been distracted? Absolutely. He refused financial support. And instead spent his own money to help others. Money can get people into trouble. We find that many politicians get into trouble because of money. We remember not too long ago the people that were in charge of getting garbage collection people got into trouble. Remember that? And it's how sad. He identified with the people and stood right with them as together they built the wall. The enemy would have rejoiced to discover something in Nehemiah's life that would have embarrassed him and hindered the work. But nothing was found. And that's a testimony that he got the job done. Paul exhorts us to be, quote, blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Philippians 2:15 and 16a. Should we read that again? Because it's important, isn't it? We are to be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. The first qualification for a pastor is that he should be blameless, which always makes me uncomfortable. Because, well, to be quite honest, I struggle. Do you struggle? Thank you.
Yes.
Another thought from Warren Wiersbe: there is no substitute for integrity and a good conscience that goes with it. You can face any enemy, listen to any accusation, or confront any misunderstanding if you have integrity and a good conscience. You have nothing to hide and nothing to fear. It is when people start to lead a double life that they get into trouble, for nobody can serve two masters, unquote. I think Warren Wiersbe has a good thought there, don't you? Integrity is important. Sir Walter Scott was right when he wrote, "Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive." How many of you have heard that statement before? My mother used to say it regularly to me. And she used to tell me that when you lie, you have to remember your lie. If you tell the truth, well, it's okay if you don't remember it, because the truth is simply the truth. But the telling of lies. Number 9, he sought to glorify God alone. Now, that's quite a statement, isn't it? The desire to glorify God. May I say this, that on the job, you're trying to glorify the Lord. In your neighborhood, you try to glorify the Lord. In your family's life, you try to glorify the Lord. If Nehemiah had been interested only in promoting himself, he would have stayed at the palace where he mingled with the king and people of influence. Or when he got to Jerusalem, where he was now to be the governor, he would have used his authority to make life easier for himself. But he did neither of these things. Instead, he came as a servant, identified with the people, and was a part of their trials and burdens and even dangers. So ponder this. In the building of the walls and repairing of the gates, God was glorified. In the way Nehemiah and his people confronted and defeated the naysayers and withstood their verbal attacks, God was glorified. In their dependence on the Lord, God was glorified. In the great service of dedication, the Lord was magnified. From beginning to end, the entire enterprise brought glory to the Lord. May it never be said at the Covenant Baptist Church that the glory goes to the workers and not to the Lord. See, it's to God be the glory. Amen. Great things he had done. Number 10, he had courage. Is courage important? He had courage. Leadership comes with many challenges. Some men are natural leaders, while others have leadership thrust upon them. Often people who are not put in charge wish to be the ones in charge. Eve had been told how to do it, right? But she says, "I didn't want to do that." Cain. He was told what to do, but he didn't want to. Rebecca, you know, she wanted Jacob and not Esau. How about Korah? Korah wanted to be in charge. He wanted to take the power away from Moses. It is the people that stand with and for a leader that makes that leader successful. With an example of Aaron and Hur. Now, remember what Aaron and Hur did? They lifted up the arms of Moses. Remember that? And while they lifted up his arms, Joshua led the army and they had the great victory. But it made Moses look good. But he needed help. Every leader needs help. President Harry Truman said, "If you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen." Yes. To be a leader, by its very nature, calls for them to have courage. Every leader, be it President Obama or President Trump, makes you a target. Whoever you are, it makes you a target. That includes pastors and pastors' wives. Some say the hardest job in the ministry is to be the pastor's wife, because she's the one that can't say anything. She just has to endure. Nehemiah would of necessity be courageous. He had to stand tall, he had to be sure, and he had to be thick-skinned, because there are always those who are going to find fault. Saul, as the leader of Israel's army, should have been the one to go fight Goliath. How many times do you think that he wished he had been the one who would challenge or answer the challenge to go fight? You think so?
Yeah.
I think over and over again. Why do you think he was so jealous of David? Because David was getting all the attention that he thought, I should have gotten that, but I wasn't willing to stand up for the challenge. Ponder this. Nehemiah had the courage to live in a dangerous city and confront a subtle enemy. He had the courage to deal with the traitors among his own people and to call the people back to faithfulness to the Lord. He even threw Tobiah out of the temple. Now, while you and I as Christian workers do not have the authority to pluck out hair, as we find that in Nehemiah chapter 13, we must, though, find the courage that Nehemiah had, so that we are able to stand in a dangerous day. Someone has said that success is never final and failure is never fatal. It is courage that counts. Courage. The ancient Greeks thought courage was the master virtue, because without courage, you could never use your other virtues. The Spanish novelist Cervantes wrote, "He who loses wealth loses much. He who loses a friend loses more. But he who loses courage loses all." Can I encourage you tonight to remain strong in your walk with the Lord? See, it's easy for us to be watching here on video, or you be here in this room and say, yes, I'm going to be courageous. But when we go out those doors, when we get into the world, that's when we put our faith to the test. And I pray that we can remain strong until the Lord calls us home. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the thoughts that we were able to give tonight. We thank you for Nehemiah and the fact that he was willing to be courageous for the cause of the Lord. Help us, Lord, to also feel that way, and Lord, to be used of you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.